Good morning. The reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And the reading is in the church Bibles on page 1218. The living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise be to God.
Thanks, Di. Let's pray for Marilyn. Father God, we thank you that Marilyn has sought your face and wanted to hear from you, and we believe that what you have given her is for us, and so we pray that our hearts and minds will be open to receive, and that you will bless Marilyn in the giving of the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Shirley. Good morning, everyone. So I'm carrying on this morning with the talks we've been doing on the church, and so we're looking at this lovely scripture from 1 Peter this morning. This book, 1 Peter, was written to Christians who were having a tough time, and they needed to be reminded of who they were through the eyes of Jesus. And sometimes I think if we're facing a tough time or a tiring or testing or busy time, we just need reminding of who we are and who Jesus sees when he looks at us. That's as individuals and as a church. I think even if life is a walk in the park, we still need reminding of that. So verse 9 says, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Through the eyes of Jesus, this is who we are. And when I say we, I mean you and me. You are chosen by God. It is no mistake that you are here today. You are loved by a God who knows you more than anyone else does. He sees you. He sees your life. He sees the joy and the happiness. He sees the fun and the laughter. He sees the things that make you smile. He sees the things that make you cry. He sees the times when we look back and think how things used to be. He sees us dream dreams. He sees the sadness and the sorrow, the grief and the suffering. He sees the things that we do that we are not proud of. He sees it all, and still he loves. His love is not dependent on what we do or say or pray or think. It is not dependent on that, because it is unconditional. When he looks at you, he says, "I love you. There is no catch." His love surrounds us whether we feel it or not. He will immerse us in his love if we allow him to. He is a father who sometimes may say, "Don't do that," and we do it. And then he may say again, "Don't do that," and we do it. But when we fall, it is his hand that is the first one to reach down, help us up, dust us down, heal us, and say, "Come on, let's start again." That is the heart of a father who loves. That is grace. We are a people belonging to God, and he takes responsibility for his own. He is the great shepherd. If you are a Christian, you belong to God. You are a unique person. You are gifted by God, and there is no one quite like you here. You have within you God-given gifts that are treasure from heaven. These gifts may be buried deep within your heart, or they may be near the surface just bursting to come out, but they are there. And there will be dreams that you have been given that are God-given dreams. And you may feel like they will never come to pass, or you may have decided to give up on those dreams as not from God. Those things, those dreams, those gifts, they may well, very probably, have been put in your heart by Almighty God himself, and he will use those things to bear so much fruit for his kingdom. Verse 9 says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Before we became Christians, we were living in the darkness. Whether we realized it or not, we belong to the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus, when we give him our lives, he just reaches in and he pulls us out, and we live our lives in the light of the world. However, we still face dark times in our lives, don't we? There are still times of trial and testing, times of sadness and grief where we have no answers and there is only God. And it is in the dark times quite often that we can find and hold treasure. Sometimes it is after the event, no matter how hard it has been, we look and we have a handful of treasure and we can think, how did that happen? Isaiah 45 verse 3 says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. I love that scripture. God gave me that scripture a few years ago, and it still speaks to me now. And someone said to me last week, there is treasure to be found in dark times. And that treasure, it can shape your future. It can give you a depth to your faith that you never knew existed. It can give you a relationship with Jesus that cannot be shaken. That treasure that God gives you may be the grit and determination to stand and to walk through, even when you feel like your knees are buckling. It may be that God gives you the faith to move mountains when it looks like that mountain is not going anywhere. The treasure in the dark times may be that you realize that there is an Almighty God who loves you, who sees you, who knows you, who knows your struggles, knows that you are not perfect, but the love that he pours out on you is immeasurable. We are people who declare his praises, even in the dark times. And as Shirley was saying just now, not in a false way, but in a way of saying, this is hard. I am struggling with this. I cannot see an end to this. I don't know what the future holds. But I do know this. My God, he is almighty, and he is the one in whom I trust. He is the king of all the kings. He is Yahweh, and he holds my future in his hands. So I can rest in the shadow of the Almighty, knowing that I am safe. And I can say, it is well with my soul, even with all this going on around me. Verse 9 says, we are a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, once a year, the priest would go into an area of the temple called the Holy of Holies. This was the place where the presence of God dwelt. The priest would go in and offer a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people once a year. So no ordinary man or woman was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. It was separated by a thick veil. And that veil was thick, and it was made of fine woven mesh. So it was very strong. And it was said that if a horse was tied one each side, they wouldn't be able to pull it apart. That was the strength of it. And that veil was a barrier to the presence of God. And then came that day at Calvary when our beloved Saviour Jesus hung on the cross and he declared, "It is finished." And he breathed his last breath. And that temple in the veil that was the barrier to the presence of God was torn from top to bottom. Not bottom to top as man could do, but top to bottom as only heaven could do. So that a way was made for ordinary men and women and boys and girls to come into the presence of a God who is holy. The way to God is open. It is not only the priest who can come into the presence of this holy, amazing, all-consuming, awesome God, because we are all welcome. No one is turned away. Because it was on this day in history that God laid a stone in Zion. And that stone was Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of the church. And he is the one who holds it all together. And we, lovely people of Trinity, we are the royal priesthood. Jesus loved the church. He loves the church. And he gave himself for her. Verse 6 says, God laid a stone in Zion, and the church is unique. It is a bunch of varied people, varied in age, size, shape, culture. There will be different personalities, different characters, different personalities and characters all over. There will be different strengths and weaknesses. And all mixed together, we come together as this living, breathing body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is in each believer. He dwells in us, his people, the church. The Greek word dunamis is used to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Our word dynamite comes from the word dunamis. Dunamis means the miraculous power, strength, capability, and might to do that which is beyond our natural ability. Every single one of us who are believers here in Jesus have this amazing dunamis spirit residing within us. And the church, when it comes together, is dynamite on planet Earth. Dynamite. It is an explosion of love and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and extravagant and amazing grace. God laid a stone in Zion, and planet Earth will never, ever be the same because he changed history. The Redeemer lives. The Lord has come. He is here. And the dunamis power of God roams the earth through his people. God laid a stone in Zion. Let us not underestimate the church. The church has the potential to change the world, to transform it. The church working at its full capacity is dynamite on earth. And you have a place. You have gifts. You have a calling from God to be part of his church. The church can change the world. It has the ability to love it, to share the love of God in it, to preach the gospel in it, to show the love and mercy and kindness, to live out what we believe in it. I want to encourage you, everyone here, be you. Be you, be the best you that God calls you to be, because that is who God calls you to be, yourself, as he made you. He has chosen you because he loves you. It is no mistake that you are here. And God, he brings his church together amazingly. If we were to go around the room and ask everyone, how did you end up being at Holy Trinity? Every answer would be different. If we were to go around the room and say, how did you come to know Jesus? Every answer would be different. And that is God at work. That is the Holy Spirit doing what he does. If you were to go around the room and say, what do you feel God is calling you to do for him? What gifts do you feel that God has given you to be used for his church? Some answers would be the same and some would be different. And we would see a picture of the church at work. These things are precious. You are precious. Look deep within your heart. What is God calling you to do? You may already be doing it. You may be scared of doing it, and I know that feeling well, and I just want to say especially to those people, there is a still, quiet voice that says, go on, have a go, I will be with you. Maybe you are not sure what God wants you to do. Ask him. Ask people who know you. Ask someone to pray for you. Because together we all fit as a church like a jigsaw. There are not too many edge pieces or too many corner pieces. We all fit. And together, despite our differences, we fit perfectly as the body of Christ, the church. We all come from different directions, different upbringings. The diversity in the church is amazing. Verse 5 of this scripture says, we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. This church, Trinity, exists for a purpose. We all have God-given dreams and desires. And God brings us together from all walks of life to build his spiritual house here. Each one of us are living stones that form that house. You are important. Without you, there is a gap. It will be a gap where your unique personality fits, where your unique gifts from God can shine. There will be people that only you can reach. There will be people who will only respond to your kindness, to your gentleness, to your words, to your acts of grace, to your sense of humor. You are important. I've said that a few times now. You are important. You are chosen. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 95 or anywhere in between that. You are a vital part of the spiritual house that God is building here in the middle of Barnstable. Allow yourself to dream. One lovely person once asked me to write my dream down. And what I wrote scared me because there was no way that I could do what was written on that piece of paper. But our God is a God of miracles. He is a God of the impossible, and he will take ordinary men and women and he will use them for his glory to build his house. So to finish, we are the church, and through the eyes of a God who knows us and loves us, we are worth the life of the Son of God. He has given us his dunamis Holy Spirit. He has entrusted us with this amazing, precious message of salvation. He has asked us to love one another as he has loved us and to live lives that honor him. So I just want to pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to be part of what you are doing here in Barnstable. And I pray, Father, for your blessing on each person here. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to live lives that honor you, to love one another, Lord God, and to proclaim your message, Jesus. Where we struggle, Lord God, I pray that you would help us in dark times. I pray, Lord God, that there would be treasure that would be found that could only come from you. We pray, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.